Host and DJ for the evening, Jeremy the Impact York. You guys know me. And those of you who don't, welcome in. Glad to hear from you guys. Now, of course, I always neglect to do this, so I'm going to do it right out of the gate. You can go to our iTunes page. Please give us a rating. Give us a small comment as to either how we can make the show better or what you like about the show currently. We do read these things. We appreciate all of you guys who have actually done that. And the more ratings and reviews that we get, the bigger, more awesome things you will see us do on here. We're not going to be like some shows that, hey, the way you want to run your shows, the way you want to run your show, I don't knock you for any decisions, but the way I want to run this show, at least currently, is I don't want to charge you guys for the content. So in order for us to bring you guys free amazing content each and every couple weeks, now soon to be every week, we're going to get into that a little bit later on, but in order for me to bring you great content, in order for me to bring you great people like Cody, Coach Hill, obviously Reggie Walker, in order to have those guys on, once again, they come on here on their own as well. But in order for us to give this amazing content for free, we need you to go to the iTunes store, give us a great rating, or just rate us whatever you think's fair. If you think we need to improve something, definitely want you to put that on there, because then we have something we can work on. We're always working on stuff, always trying to get some good guests. Next show, of course, will be in a couple weeks. I hope to have some pretty good content by then. I think you guys are going to enjoy that. I think we're going to line up a pretty good guest. We are working out our social media shout outs. We will get to that here shortly. I think you guys are going to enjoy that, especially if you're a media fan. And who knows? All kinds of stuff we're going to get into. We're going to talk some Jay Cutler. Got some Falcons news. Finally, go ahead and send out that social media shout-out. You guys should enjoy that one. Tonight's social media shout-out is Michael Rappaport. He actually has his own stuff with Barstool Sports. He's a diehard New York fan, especially the Knicks. He's done some acting. He's in a lot of movies. Was he Phoebe's boyfriend or brother? I want to say brother. I'm not sure. On Friends, been a long time since I've seen it. Fantastic dude. He actually filled in for Rich Eisen the past couple days on his show. Mikey, we'd love to have you on here. So go ahead and throw that shout out there. Once again, remember, go to the iTunes store, give us a review, maybe suggest who you'd like to see on here. And we'll do our best to try to get those people on here. Like I said, we're lining up some fun stuff. Other stuff we're going to get to Now let's go ahead and start there. Let's go ahead and say, all right, there was two big trades. We won't get into the Jay Bruce stuff or any of that kind of stuff. Two big trades really right at the deadline that I think will really impact, for lack of a better term, will impact the playoffs. This is in baseball. And that is Hugh Darvish going to the Dodgers and Sonny Gray going to the Yankees. Now, we don't need to know what they were traded for. It doesn't matter. My thing is, which one of these two signings does the most for each team? So we're going to kind of break it down, and then we're going to kind of pick a side here. Let's start with Hugh Darvish. Hugh Darvish has been a pretty good pitcher for his career in Texas. Kind of been up and down a little bit. Had a little bit of an injury last year, up and down a little bit this year. Dodgers trade for him. Here's the number one reason why they're trading for him. They traded for him so that Clayton Kershaw doesn't have to pitch 5 games in a 7-game series. Yeah, makes sense, right? It feels that way, and it feels that that's just the way they were going to operate. I think that's part of why Clayton Kershaw doesn't have such a postseason record. Doesn't have a great record. I think he's over-pitching because he's trying to do too much. He feels like he had to pretty much pitch every inning of every game, even when they had a bullpen, which they do now. But in signing Darvish, the Dodgers are able to take some of the pressure off of not only the rest of their staff, but Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw now can go back to being dominant Kershaw. You can't hit me unless I want you to. To a point, the Floyd Mayweather of pitching. If Floyd doesn't want you to hit him, you're not going to. Whole different thing. We'll talk about that fight in a couple weeks because that will be right before it. That'll be fun. So, you know, as far as Darvish to the Dodgers, I liked it. Everybody's like, well, you know, Darvish has not had the best year. Yeah, he also hasn't had a lot of run support. Last time I checked, Texas had like, they score about, 2 to 3 runs a game? Yeah. That's the average, which means at some point they score 6. At some points they score 0. The Dodgers are like 4 or 5 runs, one of the best offenses, one of the best all-around teams. And it could be a one-year rental. Who knows? But as far as him to the Dodgers, I think I'd give it a B+. Good move. I don't know that he could have went to a much better place. Why not go to the number one team in baseball currently, right? All right. Sonny Gray to the Yankees. Now, this is different. This is different because the Yankees rotation has been pretty entertaining this year. A couple injuries here and there, a couple people overachieved, a couple people underachieved, especially C.C. Sabathia, who has somehow remembered that he used to be a great big-game pitcher and has suddenly started to do it again. And Sonny Gray is adding the ace to the poker hand here. He's an ace. Darvish could be. He's more of a king at the moment. Well, a king. I'm not going to call him a queen. He's a king or a jack. Big time face card can help bolster the hand, but like I said, Sonny Gray more of an ace, especially as far as the Yankees are concerned. Now, what does this do? Does this line up that these two teams are going to face? I don't know necessarily because we know Houston's still good. I believe Boston is up on New York at the current moment, so they would be the Yankees would be the wild card coming in, or they would be the top wild card who would face the bottom wild card, I believe, which is Seattle. Winner of that would move on to more than likely face Houston. If they get through Houston, then they would play the winner of Boston. Let's see, Boston and whoever's winning the West out there. No, I see. No. Either way, Yankees are going to have a tough road if they don't win their division. They know that. So, kind of recap real quick, then I'll pick a side. And I'm going to throw biasness out. Everybody knows I'm a Yankees fan. So, Hugh Darvish to the Dodgers takes the pressure off of Clayton Kershaw, allows him to go back to being the big dog pitcher that he was. Sonny Gray to the Yankees adds a top-of-the-line ace to that staff that, you know, we're not sure how long CC Sabathia is going to hang on to it. So adding an ace and adding a king on the other side. Who benefits the most? The Dodgers. The Dodgers do. They are already the best team. They add depth at the pitching rotation, which means if they really wanted to, they can scoot one of the fourth or fifth starters into the bullpen. When we get to the playoffs, they can go a three-man rotation if they want to. I mean, just imagine. Clayton Kershaw, Hugh Darvish, and I could be the third starter, and they're going to win at least three of the first five games, if not more. Three. I mean, that's unbelievable, and you never know. Don't discount the fact I could probably throw a forkball that even I don't know where it's at. They're the clear winners. The Dodgers loaded up. This is, you know, this is the equivalent of the Patriots. The Patriots just won the Super Bowl last year, and what did they do? Added like five big-time free agents. All they did was get better. I don't know if they lost anybody technically. And if they did, it was some third-string punt returner we didn't know anyway, and they'll re-sign him halfway through when somebody gets injured. The Dodgers are lining themselves up to finally have the run we've been waiting for, I don't know, when's the last time? 20 years ago when they were relevant? Although I do find it funny that every time they get on a big win streak that the Braves, hometown Braves, shout out Atlanta Braves, that we'll get to in a minute, the Braves are the ones who stop these streaks. So, who wins this? I think Hugh Darvish, by far, to the Dodgers, is the better move, even though the Yankees' best move was to add Sonny Gray. If you line them up, Sonny Gray is a better pitcher than Hugh Darvish, at least right now, for sure. Who's the better fit? Who helps the team that they're going to or that they went to more? That's by far Darvish to the Dodgers. By far.
It's funny because it's true.
Now, a few little news and notes. I want to do some quick stories and then we'll get back into a bigger topic. The Columbus Blue Jackets have extended coach John Tortorella for one more year, which will tie him to the team through the 2018-2019 season. I don't have a problem with that. Torts happens to be one of my favorite coaches, even if he wasn't. What Tortorella has done for this game, he is great at developing the young guys. He's great at motivation. Well, not necessarily developing. He's great at motivation. He's a great coach. He goes to bat for his team, stands up for his team. It's a wrong sport to talk about bats. But what Columbus is doing is they're shoring up that, hey, they know they're not Nashville. Not yet. They know they're not Nashville yet. But they're making sure their coach is going to be around long enough before they get there. So as far as this move, yeah, I give it 4.5 stars out of 5. The only way that you could have made this better, I think a 2-year deal would have been nicer, but this also puts the pressure on Tortorella to control himself a little more, but to still fire everybody else up. And that's definitely something that he can do. You know, while we're on hockey, why don't we go ahead and get to the other hockey story we had going on right now. Mike Fisher officially retired. Of course, he is married to Carrie Underwood, which probably the third thing that you would find on a Google search. It might be second. Who knows? But Mike Fisher retires. He played 17 seasons, including winning a couple cups. May have won one. But he was a king for a long time. Most famously, he's been in Nashville with the Predators. Just a super overall guy. 17 seasons, 585 points in 1,088 total games, which I believe includes the playoffs. So let's do some quick math real quick. He averaged pretty much 34.5 points per season. That's pretty doggone good. That's including rookie season all the way up through now. The various roles he had on these teams, he played with some of the best players in the league. He is one of the better players in the league. But salute to you, Mike Fisher, retiring after 17 seasons.
These guys are Warriors.
They may be Warriors coach, but they are, he's actually retired Predator now. So, what can we get into next? You know what? Let's do some Falcons news, right? Let's do some Falcons news. They happen to be on TV right now. They are playing against the Miami Dolphins in the first week of preseason games officially. Hall of Fame games, kind of that extra bonus game. This one doesn't mean anything at all, but I know Atlanta did return a kick for a pretty good gain a second ago. TV is just far enough away from me to where I couldn't see who it was, but it was a pretty good run. I did see Devontae Freeman, who recently got paid. Just saw him with a pretty good run as well. This game is in Miami. Atlanta was smart enough to buy themselves a couple weeks to see if they can get the stadium roof to actually work. Now, it will actually close now, but I believe at least for the start of the season, we're going to see it close. Hope to see it here. What is it? September 30th is the Falcons 5K. Myself and a handful of other people, including my mom, is going to run right here from the Impact Media Studio. We're going to we got a group of us that are going to run. If you go out to the Falcons 5K on September 30th, definitely look for us. And then you can actually follow me after that. I'll be doing some check-ins during that race anyway, but you can actually follow me afterwards because there is a Georgia State football game at the new field. I'll be down there as well. And, you know, while I'm on the topic, since we're not doing Panther Zone quite yet, that will be coming in the next couple weeks. Next Thursday is Pantherville, what I'm not sure exactly, but it's a fan day, fan night, really. I think the game starts around 7:15. If you come a little early, you'll probably see me walking around. There's a good chance you will see Brandon Leak and Dave Cohen, who are two-thirds of the TV booth. They will be out on the Promenade Plaza there, which used to be the center field pavilion. It is now the it's now going to be a pounce zone for the kids. Definitely come and check that out. Like I said, I think it's free. So come on down to Georgia State Stadium and watch some free football. It's going to be like a two-hour scrimmage. Think of it kind of like a dry run before the season starts. You get to come check out the field. It's not going to cost you much. Come on down, hang out. A lot of fun giveaways, prizes. And like I said, you get to see all the fun things they've done with the stadium. I saw it just a couple days ago, and it is fantastic. Fantastic. But now, since we're talking about the Falcons, let's start with the bad news first, and then we'll get into the good news. The bad news, Jalen Collins, who is a corner for the team, pretty good corner at that, has been suspended 10 games for performance-enhancing substances. 10 games means this is the second time it's happened. He actually had some substance-related issues at Louisiana State University, otherwise known as LSU, back when he was in college. So I know they expressed, I think Dimitrov was the one who said he was very disappointed. Yeah, that's the safe word we all wanted to use. Collins was really starting to, I believe he started in the Super Bowl. Collins was really starting to make a big impression while he was out there. And, you know, I'm not sure if they're going to release him. I haven't heard anything yet. They may hang on to him for the 10 games and then release him. I really don't know. Because technically, I believe if you're suspended, you're not going to make any money anyway. Now, on to the good news. The good news is, finally, Devontae Freeman gets paid. And I'm not saying finally because he deserved the contract and now he's going to get paid for the type of player he is. No, finally, because this was one more distraction that was keeping this team from building on last year, in my opinion. This was one of the last things. I understood he wanted to get paid. I had no problem with that. I understood they were wanting to get the right deal in place. Had no problem with that. The problem I had is this is drug out way too long. This should have been done a month ago. Absolutely should have been done a month ago. Makes no sense to me why this was not done a month ago. And if you're counting, that's three times, now four, that I said a month ago. But the five-year extension is $41.25 million, 22 of which is guaranteed. It ties him to the team through 2022. And now it ultimately cements him as hopefully one of the first three draft picks in your fantasy league. In a couple weeks, we will have some fantasy previews too. You know, and for those of you who are saying, you can find another running back like Freeman in the middle rounds? I'm not so sure. Yeah, you can find, you know, right now, at least in the drafts and coming out of college, you could find a running back, a good running back. I'd say, you know, a B minus or better sometimes. You can find those in the draft, a running back or a wide receiver. Sure, they're kind of a dime a dozen because, what, there's 162 Division I teams or something like that. Yeah. So you got to imagine at least one receiver from each one of those and one running back from each one of those, sometimes multiple, are each and every year. So, yeah, they could be a dime a dozen as far as that, but for what Devontae means to this team, that's not really teachable. He's definitely a locker room guy. Tevin Coleman is the same way. People respect these guys. They carry the torch along with Matt Ryan. You know, when Tony Gonzalez left this team, somebody had to take over the reins. It's something the Braves are struggling with now. Sure, Freddie's carrying it at some point, and I'll get to the expectations a little later. Trust me, that is coming. But yeah, you have to pay. You have to pay Devontae Freeman. If you were to let him walk, or if you were to franchise tag him and insult him by doing that, for people who don't think that that's insulting to a player like him, why don't you call Le'Veon Bell and ask him why he's not in pads right now? He's not in pads because I think he's insulted by the fact that Pittsburgh won't give him a long-term deal, even a three-year deal. That could have been similar to this. What he's making like eight a year, eight and a half, something like that. So the way this comes up, that makes him like the third highest, if you just go on a year-by-year basis, third highest running back in the league behind LeSean McCoy and that guy in Tampa. I can't think of his name. Doug Martin. But when you go as overall a multi-year deal, this is the richest running back contract in the league. He's one of the best in the league. I don't have a problem with that. You know, in a year or two, Zeke's going to get something similar to this. In 2 to 3 years, maybe Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook makes this kind of money. That's fine. That's what they can make from those prospective teams. But for what Devontae Freeman does for this team, I think it's well-deserved. And for people, once again, who don't think it means that much, why don't you watch the way he's running right now? I watched him run a touchdown in, and he looked midseason form. He's ready to go. And that helps everybody else. When you have Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman and whichever other running backs they decide to roll with, they just signed another one the other day as the third back. That makes it easier on the offensive line, which in turn makes the whole thing easier on Matt Ryan, which means he can lead the league in passing if he wants. He may not have to, but all the different weapons he's going to have, this is going to be a fantastic season. Fantastic season. But, you know, once again, well-deserved, and for all the haters, and yeah, I will use that term today, for all the haters out there that think this is a dumb deal, yeah, to quote the great Lorenzo McNeil, stick an egg in your shoe and beat it.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, if Cody was going to be on, boy, I was really going to mess with him with this one. One of his favorite people in the world. Trent Baalke has a new job. What is Trent Baalke's job? I'll tell you. Trent Baalke now works for the NFL as a football operations consultant. As long as he's not handling payroll, right? I'll be here all week. Basically, they're expecting him to work in a variety of areas, official video review, player development and evaluation, you know, these kinds of things. It's a good role for him. It's going to be a good role. I don't have a problem with it. Don't have a problem with it at all. Good for Trent Baalke. Like I said, as long as he's not GMing a team, he should be fine. It's kind of what he's basically stepping into the position that Tom Coughlin had before he decided he wanted to run the show in Jacksonville. So, you know, more power to him. And I want to read more on it because I haven't been able to find much on it. You know, the Rams have Make or Break or whatever the name of their show is. You got the Buccaneers who are on Hard Knocks. I mean, let's go to Hard Knocks real quick. Did people really think this was not going to center around either Gerald McCoy or Jameis Winston? I mean, who else did you think it was going to center around? Did you think Tony Dungy was going to come back and guest star in it? Do you think the Glazers were going to come back from England, come back from Man United games and be on the show? No, it's the Jameis Winston show down there. And he's another guy that, as we see him develop, he's going to be, I still stick by this statement, he's going to be what Cam Newton should have been. Cam still strikes me as somebody who doesn't want to play. Jameis strikes me as somebody who wants to, you know, be the next John Elway or something. Different style player, but he wants to win championships. He probably wants to eventually run a team or help run a team. Super smart. Who cares about crab legs? That's water under the bridge at this point. How many other people in the league have done worse things than that? Yeah, we don't have time to count. But as far as Hard Knocks, like I said, it's going to be the Jameis Winston show, the same way last year was the J.J. Watt show. If you don't like it, don't watch it. It's only 4 or 5 episodes anyway. You know? Hard Knocks is a good show, though. You should definitely check it out if you get a chance. And I keep being told about Last Chance U. I have not been able to check that out yet, but apparently it's really good, too. Check that out, too. But the point I was making, the 49ers have a new show of some kind that's going to follow them around. Or maybe it already has followed him around. I don't know a lot about it. We just found out about it right before we started talking to you guys. So they have some sort of show, and I look forward to it. I actually, this is no joke. This has nothing to do with that Cody is a 49ers fan and he's on this show. Has nothing to do with he's a good friend of mine. Has nothing to do with anything whatsoever. Not even the fact that the 49ers are owned by people with the same last name as myself. Last time I checked, and according to Ancestry, so far we're not related. We could be. I actually think the 49ers are going to be better than people think. I actually believe it. Don't just think it. I believe it. The 49ers are doing a lot of really good things. The owners have a good system in place. I like the coaching staff. I think having Kyle Shanahan run the show is going to show how good his system really is. I think his system is actually better than his dad, just slightly. Haven't seen all the results that Mike had, but he's been doing the one thing that if you're not in the game of football, he's studying it and he was talking about it. That's a great thing. He's getting to see the insider film that usually only us media see most of the time anyway, and scouts. So I like what the 49ers are doing. This new show should be fun. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Missed it by that much.
All right. Got a couple more things we're going to get into. And then we're going to get out of here. It might be a short show tonight. Who knows? I want to talk about the Jay Cutler signing in Miami. Now, he's not playing tonight, obviously. He just got there. So just think about it. Jay Cutler is on vacation with his lovely, amazing wife, Kristen Cavallari. You might remember her from, was it The Hills and The O.C.? So she was in both of those, I believe, right? I'm getting nods of approval from the other side. So must be. So they're on vacation with their awesome kid. And all of a sudden, he gets a phone call. It's Adam Gase. Adam Gase says, "What's up, Jay?" I'm going to condense this a little bit. "What's up, Jay?" "Not much, Adam. watching waves crash, enjoying a fruity drink, sitting in a hammock, light gentle breeze coming from the west, about 4 miles an hour. I know, suddenly Jay Cutler sounds like Jim Nantz. Maybe I'll change that around. But he says, well, you know, Jay, Ryan Tannehill kind of messed up his knee, and now he's messed it up a little more. Would you like to come back and be the quarterback of the Dolphins? Jay says, give me a couple days to think about it. So, long before we heard anything about it, they had this conversation, which means the Dolphins also knew about Tannehill long before they told us, which is fine. They were up front with the NFL about it, so no harm, no foul. These teams don't have to tell the public anything. All they have to do is be straight up with the league. They don't have to tell us anything, whether it's concussion protocol or whether it's a CAT scan or whether it's, it could be a hangnail. They don't have to tell us anything. The only people they have to report to are their bosses at the NFL, and pretty much that's Goodell. So Jay thinks about it, and Kristen looks at him and says, you got to take this. This is an opportunity. Yeah, you were supposed to be in a three-man booth, but, you were the B team at Fox. That job's probably going to be there. And if not at Fox, there's CBS, there's ESPN, there's Impact Media, just saying. There's all these other places. But how long can you keep playing football? Jay's, 34, 35? Went to Vanderbilt, smart dude. So Jay thinks about it. He calls Adam Gase back. Adam, it's Jay. Yeah, Jay, I know the number. I have your number on my phone because they talk. They've been talking. Jay says, let's talk about this. They end up agreeing on a one-year, $10 million plus incentive deal. I think this is fantastic because if Jay Cutler has a fantastic year, he's in the driver's seat. He can pick where he goes next year if he wants to keep playing. Or he can pick where he goes outside of this because he's going to be another hot commodity. We already know that he's halfway into the media deal, so he could easily be a media guy. And even if he doesn't have a good year, let's say the Dolphins just absolutely just fall apart like an erector set with no nuts. Just no bolts, no nuts, just a bunch of metal flying everywhere. Like a sandcastle when the tide comes in, just done. Well, then Jay goes back to the booth. Maybe not, like I said, maybe not to that job. Maybe somewhere. He'll be somewhere. Why wouldn't NFL Network have him as an analyst? Or, like I said, they could add him back to the same booth. What does this do for Tannehill? It gives him time to have off-season surgery, which he should have had this off-season, and he didn't. More power to him trying to tough it out. But, no better. So, I really think that Cutler's going to go down there. He's going to be pretty good. He may play another year or so somewhere else next year. But Adam Gase is the one he worked with in Chicago that helped him with his mannerisms off the field. Because a lot of times people think, well, he's pouting. Well, he's just aloof. Well, he does it. No, it's just the way he reacts is the same way Eli Manning reacts to everything. The same poker face where internally is where the battle is actually coming from. So having Adam Gase in the perfect scenario where this could be a one-year, one and done, maybe he moves on, maybe they keep him around. Who knows? We'll have to see what happens towards the end of this season. But I like this deal. 1 year, $10 million plus incentives. And the incentives could be throw 20 touchdowns. Here's $1 million. Lead us to a wild card. Here's $1 million. Don't throw 15 interceptions. Here's $1 million. We don't know. It's all kinds of incentives. This should be a really great thing. So, as I'm watching Miami now, they're not on offense, I don't think. It's 7-3 Atlanta currently, almost at the end of the first. Matt Sims in for Atlanta. So, we'll see how that goes. But as far as the deal to Miami, I think it's a fantastic A-plus deal. Is that Jay calling in? No, it's not Jay calling. Okay. Here you go, check. Now, let's move on. Got one last thing I want to get to, and it's something that's kind of irked me a little bit. So I'm going to get into it a little bit, and then we're going to get out of here. It's going to be a short show tonight. Now, here's my overall take. Why can we as fans and why can teams as teams not enjoy a player for what they are instead of what they're not? I got a bunch of examples for this. The latest one, though, is Dansby Swanson, the shortstop and supposed new face of the team here in Atlanta for the Braves. He's a hometown kid. He's from down the road from where the new stadium is. He's supposed to be the new face of the team, and he at one point was batting like 129 with, like, I don't know, it felt like 10 RBIs and, like, I don't know, a million strikeouts. In fact, at one point, he was booting the ball around the infield farther than he was actually hitting it at the plate. That could be an oversight, but that's pretty much. So because of the way the team presented him to us, we think this guy's the next Chipper Jones. He's the next Freddie Freeman. Yeah, it's going to be his and Freddie's team. Oh, wow, let's get all excited. And then, you know, I mean, they're selling merchandise. There's Swanson shirts everywhere. Remember, I've been to the park a few times. Maybe I'll try to get back here soon. But either way, Swanson stuff everywhere. Freeman stuff everywhere. But at least Freddie's hitting. At least Freddie's not making a bunch of gratuitous errors everywhere. And, you know, Braves fans, let's just think about the last time the team tried to put somebody out front and say he's the face of the team. We're going to really push him. He's really going to take the torch from Chipper. And that guy was Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward, who, B-plus player. Great guy. Everybody likes the guy. Like most people do. And they pretty much ran him out of town when he wasn't, I don't know, they wanted him to be Barry Bonds or something. I don't know. They wanted him to be the face of the team. His personality is not there for that. It's not a knock on him. He's not a knock at all. No. Because guess what? He goes to the Cardinals, and then he goes to the Cubs. You know what those two teams ask him to do? Jason, I need you to hit 280 with 60 RBIs, 10 home runs, play right field, and don't drop the ball. Fantastic. Jason Hayward, perennial all-star. Even when he was here, he kind of was, but perennial all-star with the Cardinals. Goes to the Cubs. Guess what? Veteran leadership turns the team around in the moment of could have been despair in the World Series last year. They end up coming back after the rain delay and won the game. So the Braves try to put these unreal expectations that he needs to be, you know, the new Derek Jeter in right field. And the Cardinals and Cubs go, yeah, just go out and play baseball. And, contribute and try to stay positive. And he wins a World Series title with the Cubs. Imagine that. Imagine that. Let's talk about Tim Tebow. Not only did he hammer out another home run after visiting with an autistic kid in the front row. That's just, you can't make this stuff up. Tim Tebow. Josh McDaniels knew what he wanted to do with him, but Josh got ran out of town before he could do anything. We're talking Tebow football now. With Tim Tebow, the best thing to do is instead of expecting Tim Tebow to be Dan Marino, you look and you go, Tim, be Tim Tebow. We know you're going to run an option more than you're going to do anything, but just do it to the best of your abilities. And he did. You don't expect Johnny Manziel to be Tom Brady. It's just not going to happen. Their games are completely different. Completely different. Like Jay Cutler that I just mentioned in Miami. You don't expect Jay Cutler to be Ryan Tannehill. I hope you don't. Dolphins fans don't expect that to happen. First of all, they're two completely different quarterbacks, and in my opinion, Cutler's an upgrade. Tannehill's okay, but he was a wide receiver until his last year at Texas A&M, and that's because Manziel left and they didn't have anybody else that could throw a pass. I said, Tannehill's not bad. He's just, you know, he's what you guys need. The way the team is run, the way Gase likes to run, yeah, it works. It works fine. It's, you know, Alex Smith's not exactly breaking all the records in the world, but he's a great quarterback, especially in the Andy Reid system. So the next time that the Braves try to tell us that Dansby Swanson is the new Ozzie Smith or the new Derek Jeter or the new Ryan Sandberg, how about we take some steps back and we enjoy our Dippin' Dots and the cool little baseball helmet and we enjoy the, you know, the sights and sounds of SunTrust Park, maybe with our Swanson jerseys on, and just let it be known that Dansby Swanson, just go be Dansby Swanson. And it's okay if you make an error. It's baseball. Nobody's perfect. It's okay if you get in a hitting slump here and there. At some point, they sent him down to AAA. Yeah, you don't send the face of the team down to AAA, no matter how good he's doing. So maybe they finally come around. You cannot say the face of a team. You know, it's like if the Hawks expected, you know, a first-round draft pick to be LeBron James. Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. There's only one LeBron James. It's like, you know, it's like if Vince McMahon sits down with Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger and says, you need to be the new John Cena. Yeah, not happening. It's like if your 8-year-old kid is playing baseball, playing softball, doesn't matter, playing baseball, and he hits a home run, and when he's in the field, he runs and catches the ball in center field, and you go, that kid could be the next Jim Edmonds. That kid could be the next Willie Mays. How about you just let him be an 8-year-old playing baseball? If your daughter or your niece even is playing softball, she's striking everybody out. Is she the next Jenny Finch? I don't know. Why can't she just be Sally that goes to, you know, goes to church on Sundays and enjoys softball? Instead of coming up with these unrealistic expectations, why don't we just let people be who they are and enjoy them for what they are? I enjoy watching Dansby Swanson play. He's not my favorite Brave, but he doesn't need to be. Living here in Atlanta, we see all the Braves games, all the Hawks games, all the Falcons games. Georgia Swarm, I promise you we're coming to check you guys out. We see the Gladiator games. We try to see as many of the colleges and all the stuff as we can, not just because we're a media group, but because we live in Atlanta. Whether these are our teams or not, we support the local. We support the people in our community. So when I watch a Braves game, yeah, it'd be nice if they win, but if they don't, that's fine. They're entertaining. So Dansby Swanson, you keep being Dansby Swanson. Freddie Freeman, you be Freddie Freeman. Matt Adams, you be Matt Adams. R.A. Dickey, be nice for your Phil Nicro, but R.A. Dickey, be R.A. Dickey. You know, it is what it is. Kurt Suzuki, be Kurt Suzuki. But in conclusion to my little rant there, like I said, let's just enjoy them for what they are instead of getting upset for what they're not. Am I right? I'm right. But that's going to do it for me tonight. Appreciate all you guys tuning in right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us in the Sports Club. We will see you guys in a couple weeks where we will go division by division. I promise you it'll be quick. We will go division by division of the NFL teams and conferences and tell you who we think is going to win based off of some criteria we've come up with. We'll have some fantasy advice, and who knows, might have some special guests as well. Once again, Jeremy the Impact York. Social media shout out was at Michael Rappaport. Definitely go check him out. That is Rappaport on Rappaport. Mikey, you're doing a good job. Love to have you on the show sometime. Jeremy the Impact York, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Go Falcons. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up.
face like John Joker. I'm breaking the cake, so let's make it. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save your time. I can dance, homie, I don't do that. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back load and the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. 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 Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Get it now.
These guys are warriors.